It is indeed a great joy to be here this morning. As parents bring their campers to camp, I don't always know which congregation they're from. So this morning, as I was coming in, I kept seeing more and more and more campers and families that I recognized. So it's great to be here among you and to worship with you this morning. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our heart be acceptable to you, our rock and our refuge. Amen. I was in the car recently listening to an interview that was happening on the radio. And this interview was between two women, one who runs a program on the radio dealing with faith and ethics and meaning. And the woman that she was interviewing was a professor, and she was a professor of African American Studies at Princeton University. And Professor Perry was speaking about race relations in the States, and I really wanted to pay attention and listen because of all of the news that has been happening recently with Ferguson and all the young black men who have been shot in the States. And it was a very timely topic. And Professor Perry had been involved in this issue of race relations for some time. And the interview continued, and it was a wonderful conversation. At the end of the interview, which had been done in a live audience originally, the audience was allowed to ask questions of Professor Perry. And one man asked the question, if you could have a magic wand and wave it over America and deal with everything that's wrong with race relations, what would you do? What would you do with your magic wand to make everything better? And as I was listening, I immediately came up with about 25 answers that would make everything better and would just, you know, solve all of the problems that were happening in race relations in the States. But Professor Perry didn't do that. She stopped, and for a moment she thought, and then she said, I'm not sure I want a magic wand. I'm not sure a magic wand will really make true transformation happen. I think that it is through the questions and the conversations and the wrestling that we will come to transformation in the end. A magic wand won't get us to where we need to be in America. The hard work of conversations and actions and walking alongside one another is what will make a difference. And as I listened to that, I thought that perhaps she is right. While a magic wand is something that all of us would like in many different contexts in our own life, we wish relationships would get better, we wish our churches would be different, we wish that all of the problems that plague our society would be gone, and we wish we could have a magic wand to do so, that perhaps it is only in the conversation that transformation will happen. It is in the process, it is in the struggle where true change and transformation will occur. Sometimes when we listen to the stories of healing in the Bible, it seems like Jesus is just using a magic wand. Someone touches Jesus or Jesus touches them and they are made better miraculously immediately. They are able to stand up straight or stop bleeding and they are able to go on with their lives in a new way. The cure seems to come instantaneously. But sometimes in the Bible, in the healing stories, Jesus takes a bit longer and things don't happen as quickly. Sometimes a person isn't healed until they go to see the priest as Jesus instructs them. Sometimes they have to answer some questions. Sometimes Jesus has to put mud on a person's eyes twice before they are healed. Sometimes healing takes a bit longer. And I'd invite you this morning to consider the story of Zacchaeus that we heard as a healing story, as a story of a miracle, but one that might unfold over a bit longer, one in which transformation takes time and practice and conversation and attention. Zacchaeus, this is a story that many of us know very well. We've heard it since Sunday school days. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, feared and hated as a traitor to his people. He didn't get rich by being kind. And so on the day when Jesus was walking through Jericho, many gathered to see him. Everywhere that Jesus went, there were crowds, many of them hoping for miracles, the sick and the lame and those who were uncertain with what was happening in their life. Now Zacchaeus, I think, was probably just there to see what the action was. He wasn't really looking to be healed. He didn't really necessarily want to be seen. He wanted to see Jesus. And so he climbed up in his tree. But out of that whole crowd of people looking for a miracle, Jesus saw that man up in the tree, and he called him down. And everybody else was really irritated. They all had real, true problems. And Zacchaeus was the one that had cheated them for so many years. Why was Jesus talking to Zacchaeus? But Zacchaeus came, and Jesus went to his house for dinner. And then Zacchaeus said that he would give back everything that he had taken four times, and he would give half of his wealth to those who needed it. It's impossible to know what really happened after Jesus left that day. This gospel doesn't record whether Jesus came back again and talked to Zacchaeus or whether Jesus actually ended up giving away his money. We don't know if that happened. But if it did happen, then it would have meant that a true transformation would have occurred. Zacchaeus would have truly opened up and changed who he was. And in giving back the money, he would have transformed not only himself, but the whole community which he had cheated for so long. It would have been a miracle, truly, for that community, for Zacchaeus to change his ways. It would have meant true transformation. It would have meant healing for Zacchaeus and for all those whom he had cheated. Zacchaeus would have likely met resistance and hard hearts as he went about this work, but he would have also encountered forgiveness and restoration and a lightening of his own heart. There would have been new life found, healing, a miracle unfolding as the days and months and years passed. There would have been transformation, not just of Zacchaeus, but of his whole community. This is one of the Bible stories that we'll be studying with our campers this summer as we do our daily Bible study. It's a story that we hope will remind the campers that they are indeed loved by God, that they can change, and that we can all be transformed by Jesus' word and by his touch. Sometimes we want miracles to happen with a magic wand, but sometimes they take time and attention and struggle. And ministry at camp, like ministry anywhere else, is about seeing both change happen immediately and change happening over the long haul. Sometimes change and miracles happen at camp. It's something that we see. Parents call us after their child has been at camp for a week and tell us that their child has been changed. But it takes time. Camp works because it's not just one day, but it works because it is a whole week. It is 24 hours for 7 days a week. It is time and attention and conversation and struggle in living together in community. One of the programs we run at Kintail is called Kintail on the Road, and we go out and we help congregations run Vacation Bible School. And last year, before our team had even come back to camp, a mother had called us to say that she really wanted to say thank you to one of the staff members, but she had missed him on the way out. She said that her daughter, once a really confident young woman, had curled up into herself this past year. She was bullied at school, she was uncomfortable with her body, and she just felt like she didn't fit anywhere. She came and she volunteered at her church to do Kintail on the Road, and during that week, the staff members told her what a great job she was doing, that she was loved, that she mattered, that what she was doing made a difference. And as the week went by, that young woman who had curled up into herself began to stand up straight again. She began to face the world and to see that she indeed was a child of God. Through the whole week, through that whole time, she gradually was able to see herself the way God saw her. What happens at camp happens slowly, over time and after considerable energy and attention has been put into building relationships and sitting at table with one another. It's not only one Bible story or one conversation or one skit night. It is not just one afternoon at the beach, but days after days and days of this where true transformation happens. It's campers coming to Kintail or Glenmore or Camp Getty or Camp Douglas and saying something is different here and I want to know why. It's hearing a story about Zacchaeus and thinking if Jesus loves him, then perhaps he may also love me. It's being included in everything. It's getting enough to eat for a week at a time. It is being remembered by your counselor from the year before and being welcomed the moment you walk in the door. It's climbing the rock wall and it's licking slugs. It's singing familiar songs around the campfire while hearing the waves of Lake Huron, the Atlantic, the Pacific, or Lake Christopher. It It's that long conversation on the beach or on the rocks or in a cabin with a trusted counselor. It is doing all of this every day over and over that makes camp so magical. Outdoor ministry, though, isn't a magic wand or an answer to the problems of the church, but it is a process of transformation and change and healing. It is a story of miracles that happens over days and weeks. It is a struggle in living out the faith in community, loving and forgiving one another. And camp is the place where many people do this for the first time, living in community, one beside the other, strangers who become friends, barriers becoming open gates. Jesus gives Zacchaeus an invitation to begin a new life and to start a new relationship, one that likely took years to be realized. And this same invitation is offered to the campers and staff at Kintail and at our camps across the country. True, deep, meaningful transformation takes place, but it takes time, energy, practice, and attention. Above my desk at camp, I have a prayer of Teilhard de Chardin taped to the wall that I look at often. And the prayer begins, "Above all, trust in the slow work of God." Sometimes I think people come in and look at it and are surprised that a camp director has something on the wall that says, "Trust in the slow work of God," because so much of camp is fast. One of the great things about my office is that it's right outside the door where I hear the zip line and I hear kids screaming going down it all day long. Camp is often fast-paced. But after 10 years of directing children's summer camp both here and in British Columbia, the words of that prayer seem to be the truest ones that I can say. Above all, trust in the slow work of God. They give me patience when the toilets are overflowing. They give me grace when I sit with a camper who tells me that they have been abused at home. They help me sit with campers who say, "If God made the world, who made God?" I still haven't come up with the best answer for that one yet. They encourage me when I listen to the story of a 95-year-old man who tells me the scripture verses he learned when he was 10 at Kintail, and when I hear the story of a 6-year-old whose family has been going through a divorce and camp was a wonderful respite. Above all, trust in the slow work of God. True transformation is possible in the daily work and the prayer of relationship building and community gathering. Part of my work at camp is to respond with gratitude to the slow work of God that I see happening every day. No magic wands, just the steady trust and work of the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.